Well, praise the Lord. Good to be back in the Lord's house, isn't it? Amen. It is a privilege that we have, and I feel that we ought to take full advantage of it. Amen. We ought to just get right in and let the Lord have His way. I'm so glad to see all of you here in the house of God this morning, and good to see you going on for the Lord. There's some folks here that I don't know, and I'm glad to see that. That means that either new folks are coming in or something to that effect, and we are glad to see growth in the house of God. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. All right. Sounds like we have a majority at least, and so we're glad for that as well. We're looking forward to this revival and just asking the Lord to help us and have His way. And I would like to see great things take place this week. I want to encourage you in a couple things. First of all, if you would be faithful to pray and just ask the Lord to have His way in the services. Also, be sure to be here as much as possible. Be here all the time if you can. And then the third thing I'd like you to do is I'd like you to invite somebody to come and be with you. Wouldn't you like to see the church grow this week? People be born into the kingdom of God. Amen. God is good. He's still in the saving business, the miracle working business, and the prayer answering business. Amen. And I'm glad for that today. Let's look into the Word of God this morning. And you know us well enough, most of you anyway, to know that I'm not a long-winded preacher, but I'm going to preach to you until I'm done, and then I want you to get right into the altar, and let's just see what God would do for us today. In the book of Luke, chapter number 24, if you would turn there, the book of Luke, chapter number 24, we're going to read several verses together. The last chapter of Luke there. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 24. We're going to start reading in verse number 13. We'll go through verse 15. Then we'll skip down to verse 28 and read through verse number 30. 13 through 15 and 28 through 30. If you have that, say amen. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Let's read verse 16 as well. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. I want you to notice verse number 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us. Abide with us. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning on a plea for His presence. A plea for His presence. Would you just bow your heads and pray with me this morning that the Lord would have His way? Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have the privilege of being in Your house this morning. We thank You, Lord, for every saint of God that is here. We ask that You would just add Your blessing and Your anointing to the preaching of the Word of God. We ask, O Lord, that You would stir our hearts, that You would challenge and move us. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that You'll move and be faithful to us, and we'll give You the glory for it all. And everyone said, Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. A plea for His presence. A plea for His presence. We're reading here the text that tells us about an Easter morning. They're on their road to Emmaus. They have already known that the women have gone to the tomb. The angels have delivered glad tidings that He is not here, but He is risen. And immediately the news begins to spread. And as a matter of fact, these two individuals that are walking on the road to Emmaus, they've already heard about that. We know that by some things that they say. So they've already heard about this, but they have not accepted it or believed it as of yet. And now we see these two individuals walking on the road to Emmaus. And they're on a journey here that's about 7 miles. The Bible said that it is 60 furlongs there in verse number 13. So 7 miles they have to walk. And as they're walking together, they're talking over everything that has taken place, going back and forth, discussing all about it. And the Bible said that they were sad in this discussion. Now, it's interesting to me to realize, and we know because we're told one of them is Cleopas, but we know now that as we study this out, in John chapter 19, we find that Cleopas was Jesus's uncle. And so Jesus' uncle is walking down the road, possibly with his wife. They're going back home after the crucifixion of their nephew. And as they're walking along discussing it, Jesus himself appears to them, walks with them on the road, but they do not recognize him. Isn't it interesting that they that should know him did not know him? Amen. Here we are today in the house of God, and really we should know Him very well. We should have a relationship with Him. But how many times do those that do not know the Lord miss out on a relationship with Him? Amen. So here they are walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes upon them and travels with them. And it's interesting to find that He opens the scripture. He encourages them and rekindles a fire back in their heart. Hallelujah. I want you to notice first of all today their position. Notice the condition of these folks. Their world is all upset. They've been shaken clean through. I see three things about their position. Number one, they have a failure. They have a failure to see. For in verse number 16, it said their eyes were holding that they did not know Him. Amen. They had a failure to see Him. Verse number 17 said that their faces were sad. Look at it there. He said, as you walk along and you are sad. But then we see in verse number 21 that their faith was shattered. Amen. They said, we did trust. We trusted in the past. But now our faith is shattered and we don't know if we can trust God anymore. That's the position they were in. They felt as if there was no reason to keep believing. Why go on? Why continue? Why pray? Why trust God? Amen. He's dead. He's been in the grave. Amen. Don't we have the same problem sometimes? Amen. We have a failure to recognize the Lord. Amen. We have a failure to rejoice in the risen Lord. And then we don't realize our faith should remain in Him. Amen. Yes, we have the same problems. There's a few times in my life that I've wondered, where is the Lord? Where did God go? Has He left me here all alone? There's been a few times like that, and I'm sure that you have experienced it as well. But it's interesting to know, Pastor, that just a couple of hours in the presence of God made a drastic change in these people. Can I tell you today that a couple of hours in the presence of the Lord would make a change for us today? Amen. It will change your life. It will change your spiritual condition. It will change your outlook on the world. Amen. You'll walk away a different individual if we can just get the presence of the Lord. You see, really, there is no purpose without His presence. Notice some things here with me today. They received something from Him. Look with me in the scriptures. We're going to go very quickly on this part. But in verse number 15, they received a new fellowship. It said He walked with them. In verse number 31, they got a new vision because it said their eyes were opened. Amen. In verse number 32 through 34, we find that they got a new faith because the Bible said they ran to tell it. Hallelujah. Not only did they receive those things, but they got a new commission because in verse 46 through 48, Jesus said, go preach, go tell them, go win men. Hallelujah. And in verse number 49, they got a new
power. He gave them the blessing of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, friend, if we can get in the presence of the Lord, our position will be changed from sad to shouting. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll go from this thing where we have no faith and we wonder where to turn and what to do, to where we walk out of here full of faith and full of power and full of the Holy Ghost of God. Let me tell you, friend, we need the presence of God in our present position. What we need in the most in the church is a moving of the Spirit of God, a presence of the Holy Ghost to move in among us. Amen. Not only the position, but I want you to focus with me now on the power of the plea. You see, the cry is what will cause him to stop. When you begin to call on the Lord, that, friend, is when we will see results. You see, God will come and walk among us. He will move in our pews. He will walk in the service. But if we do not cry out to Him, He will go further. Notice what it said there in the Scripture. He made as though He would have gone further. In other words, He was going to let them go home, and He was going to go to another place. Amen. He was going to leave them, but they cried out and said, please abide with us. Do not turn your back on us. Do not walk away from us, but stay. There's power in a plea, friend. Amen. Today you might be here and you feel like you're in the position of trouble. You're in the position of a trial. You're in the position of a test. Amen. All you've got to do is cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, stay with me. Let me feel your presence today. Let me feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. And there is power in that kind of a plea.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
Let's look at several throughout the Bible. In Genesis chapter 32, we see Jacob. Jacob is wrestling with the angel of the Lord. We're not told who the angel of the Lord is. I have my personal opinion. You may have yours. But notice what the angel of the Lord said. Let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let you go because I've got to have a blessing. I've got to have a touch of God. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 23, Israel is in Egypt's bondage. But the Bible said there that the cry of them reached up to the Lord, and He sent a Moses to deliver them. Just a little while later in Exodus 14. Amen. They're at the Red Sea and Pharaoh's coming upon them. And the Bible said they cried unto the Lord and He delivered them. Can I tell you, friend, there's power in a cry. Amen. You might feel surrounded today. Why don't you cry? You might feel like you're in bondage today. Why don't you cry out to God and He will bless you. In the book of Mark chapter number 6. The disciples are on a ship. The storm is raging. The waves are tossing them to and fro. Amen. The waves are filling the boat even. The wind is blowing. The rain is falling. Amen. Then all of a sudden they see Jesus. And in verse number 48 it said He would have passed them by. But in verse number 50 and 51 they cried out to Him and He came over and got in the boat and made the difference. Amen. Oh yes, He would have walked by, but there was a cry made. Amen. In Mark chapter 10. Oh, blind Bartimaeus sits by the roadside. And he's crying out, Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. Everybody said, shut up, boy. Be quiet over here. Hold your peace. But the Bible said he cried the more, the louder. Amen. He lifted his voice up and said, I've got to have help. I've got to have healing. Maybe you're here today and you need a touch. Why don't you cry out to the Lord? Amen. Why don't we lift our voice up and make a plea to God? In 2 Kings chapter 4. Amen. You know the story there very well. The woman had lost her husband who was a son of the prophets. She cried out to the man of God and said, I have nothing in the house. The bondmen are coming to take my sons. And he made a miracle in the barrel for her. all because she cried. There's over 100 times in Scripture that people cried out to God and He answered. It's the plea for His presence. We can read where they cried in weakness. We can read where they cried out of the depths. We can read where they cried in sorrow, in trouble, in trial, in persecution, in distress, and in their bonds. They cried for His presence. Amen. Oh, can I preach to you for a few minutes and tell you we need to cry for His presence? Our greatest need today is the presence of God in the church. Without Him, amen, we will die. Amen. Oh, yes, I realize that some do not feel this need. I understand that some can sit through revival unmoved. Amen. I realize that some can go through the service and not be touched. Amen. Oh, yes, I know there are some that are careless, and they could not care less if there is a move of God. I understand there are some that are cold, that have not been praying, that are not full of the Holy Ghost, that have let the fire within them become a dying ember, and they don't care if we have a move of God. I understand, friend, that there are some that are content, and they feel no urgency. They feel no longing for the Spirit. I know as well that some are complacent. That means they're satisfied. But friend, I wonder, is there some here that will be a crier this week, that will lift up their voice to God and say, I've got to have a touch. Even my family needs a miracle. My church needs a miracle. We need a revival. We need the attention of God. If there's some criers in the church, amen, we'll override the cold. We'll override the complacent. We'll override the careless. Amen. Oh, yes, friend. We've got to have a crier that will call out to God for a move. Let me point you to a couple of scriptures in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, chapter 42, David said, as the hart, that's the deer, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We were preaching in Kentucky, just south of Cincinnati, Ohio. We were driving down the road, interstate highway, buildings everywhere. And my wife and I were driving in the van there. We were in the van that day. And as we're driving down the road, all of a sudden, out of a little patch of trees, jumps this humongous buck deer. It stands right in the middle of the road. Tongue hanging out of its mouth. Stands there, sides heaving. It had been running from a hunter, and that hunter had chased it and chased it, and that deer, in all of its bewilderment and all of its desire for help, ran right down the exit ramp onto the interstate highway. He was so confused. He was looking for some help. He was looking for some direction. He was looking for a place of security. Amen. That's what David said. As the deer panteth after the water. Amen. Oh, my sides are heaving. My heart is crying. My soul is longing out. Amen. I need help. I need an answer. I need deliverance. As the deer panteth after the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Amen. Can we get some people that'll be that desperate, that'll cry out like that? Lord, I've got to have help. Lord, I'm so desperate. If you don't come on my scene, I'm going to die here. If you don't work on my behalf, I'm going to die where I am.
Hallelujah. Touch us, Lord.
Look again at Psalms, again, Psalms chapter 18 and verse number 3. I will call upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Here's David again. He's calling for God's deliverance. He's in the hand of his enemies. Amen. The hand of Saul is closing upon him. And he said, I will call upon the Lord. Hallelujah. In verse number 16 it said, He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of the waters. He delivered me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But He brought me forth into a large place. He cried for first of all. And the Lord came on the scene and took care of him. Can I preach to you in closing here that God will take care of you. God will move for you. God will answer. God will save. God will work a miracle if we will cry to him. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray that in this service this morning, that you would stir us up to a cry. Lord, the first thing that is a requirement for revival, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Lord, I'm wondering if there's anybody here that'll be a crier. I'm wondering if there's anybody here that'll be a seeker. Lord, is there anybody here this week that will put everything else aside and focus on a move of God? Lord, give us a crier here. We've got to have your presence. Lord, it's all a country club without Christ. It's all a social club, Lord, without the Savior. Move among us, Lord, and make us criers of the Spirit of God. Lord, would you speak to us right now in Jesus' name? Challenge our hearts right here in this service and let us set the tone for the week as we cry and call out to the King of Kings to move in our situation. I wonder this morning if there's anybody that would be a crier. Is there anybody that's willing to cry and plead for the presence of God? These altars are open today. Right now, this is the place to cry. Hey man, would you like to see a revival? Step out and come to the altar. Would you like to see souls saved this week? Come to the revival at the altar. Hey man, oh yes, would you like to have a refreshing in the Spirit? Hey man, come down to the altar. Would you like to have help in your trouble? Come and cry at the altar. Oh Lord, we cry for your presence. We cry for your Spirit. We cry for your touch, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus,
oh, we lift our voice,
we lift our hearts, and we cry out for a move of God.
I come
to
move
of God. Oh, call out to Him, church.
I need
Thee, call out to Him, child of God. Lift your voice up, hallelujah.
Every
God, we need a touch. Lord, we need a touch. Oh, God, our desperate need is for your presence.
My Savior, I come to Thee. I need my Savior, I come to I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Bless me thou my Savior, I come to thee. Trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Through it all, I've learned trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word.